Thanks very much, and happy to be here. I hope you're happy to be here too. I'm going to talk today on how QI teams and techniques can be used to break down silos between in public health settings, and I'm hoping that our learning objectives for the day will be to understand how QI can be used to foster collaborative work groups between distinct public health bureaus, and to demonstrate that there are silo breaking quality improvement success stories that I can tell you about, and I'll tell you about one today using a case study approach. The only thing I have to disclose is there are no buildings like this in California. The other thing I was thinking about in this whole silo situation, we talk about it so much, and people do, and I even use the word about breaking down or busting down silos, and I kind of want to think about a great big bulldozer coming and taking them all down like dominoes. But the truth is, we love our silos. We worked hard to get into those silos, and my silo might be more important than your silo. And so I'd like to have us think more about containing those specific silos that do the specialty work that we need in public health, and think more about this old-fashioned thing my parents used to do with us, which is go visiting. In the evening, we'd just pile all in the car and we'd go visiting somebody else and sit down and talk for an evening, and all the kids would go play, and when it was all done, we'd go back home. So maybe part of our success here is that we have done some visiting in our health department. Here we go. A little bit about us. This is not fully showing up. We are a super agency. We have 7 bureaus, and they're written up there. We have over 1,000 FTE, and we're in 35 locations throughout our county. So it sometimes is difficult for us to work with each other, but QI has been a real fun way, underlying fun, to get together and explore new possibilities. It has the added benefits of empowerment for employees, generating new and novel ideas, and helping people, just increasing morale around the whole health department. Now, I heard about this phenomenon when I listened to a presentation by Houston about a year or so back, and they were talking about all the fun they were having with accreditation, and I thought, boy, these people are drinking Kool-Aid like crazy. But it has been kind of fun. At any rate, we are about 3 weeks away from uploading to FAB all of our documents. When I came to this conference, I would say we're going to upload next month. But right now, I have to say this month, and it's very scary. A little bit more about us. We're in Central California on the coastal region. We have under 500,000, or just under 500,000 population. A lot of that population is impoverished, even though they may be employed. And this is because our two biggest industries are ag and hospitality. So we do have socioeconomic disparities that we work very hard on. What we decided we needed to do was create a culture of QI that would help us address some of these disparities first and foremost. And quite frankly, when you pick up and decide you're going to do accreditation coordinators don't just get born, and they are not grown up in institutions either. You're going about your business doing something, and one day somebody grabs you and says, you're going to be the accreditation coordinator. And you say, oh, what's that? And then there you are. So, you have to pick very wisely, if you have the funds, where you are going to spend those funds for consultants. So we've always done our community health assessment. We have other things that we've always done. We have a healthy staff level. But if we were going to do one thing and we needed help, because we couldn't do it all ourselves, so one thing we decided we needed help with was quality improvement. So we contracted with Public Health Foundation, and I have to acknowledge Ron Bialik is in our audience here today. Thank you. I first heard Ron talk at an APHA conference about 6 years ago, I think it was. Les Bajic, who some of you may know, came out, and the first thing we did is we had him meet with our leaders. A lot of them went kicking and screaming to that meeting, but we did feed them lunch, so that was the other end of that. They appreciated Les because he is an MD, and because many of our senior leadership also are educators. He's an educator, so there were many commonalities there, and they understood that he knew both sides of the fence that we were sitting on. And we adopted what Les says. If you tolerate it, it's culture. So make sure you're in charge of your culture. We had a 1.5-day interactive training with Public Health Foundation consultants, and we ended up training 134 of our staff, and that is about 1/10 of our workforce. Like I said, the empowerment is a great secondary byproduct that is really, really very helpful for us in many, many other ways. These are a couple of our projects that we have going right now, and you can see I've off on the right-hand side listed the different bureaus that some of the staff who are on these QI teams came from. And so and the first one, for example, people from administration, public administration, and public health got together to work on an electronic bulletin board for the employees. So I'm going to, again, as I said, take you through one case study. Is that right? Yeah, okay. This is a case study that the bottom line on this one was when we were all done with it, our director of clinic services said to our QI group that in all of her years in public health, that the event of us coming to talk to her about this mutual project, a problem, was the first time in her career that she had been visited by representatives of two other bureaus who were coming together to try to solve a mutual problem. And it was a big problem. It was costing us some money. Our problem was we have integrated health clinics, and we had well-meaning physicians who were making referrals to our public health nurses instead of directly to behavioral health, which is where they should have gone, rightfully have gone. They knew that behavioral health was way backed up, and if you wanted an initial visit with behavioral health, you might wait 2.5 months. And so knowing that our public health nurses had social workers on their teams, they decided they would just refer to them, and that would help the person get along until they reached the right type of specialist to get their help. But unfortunately, by the time they got referred back again, they ended up at the bottom of the pile in terms of when they were going to see somebody again. So we actually were shooting ourselves in the foot in terms of getting that person into care as soon as possible. So one of the tools that we use, that PHF taught us how to use, maybe everybody's favorite tool, is the AIM statement tool. And this is a worksheet that describes how we logic out and think out where is the source of the problem. Then we used another tool. Well, we like all these tools. But anyway, this one is force field analysis. And as you sit down with your group of people and try to get down to root causes and external factors that might affect your moving forward, many of those are political, you can try to find out where you can eat at the problem and to reduce it, and where the barriers are so you can leap them, dig under them, or go around them. And lastly, this is another tool they use. There's many, many tools, an encyclopedia of tool books that we have from PHF. But this is a spaghetti diagram, and you can see how patients would get referred here and there and there and here, and there was a circular loop they would be going through and still not getting the type of care they need. So this is an example of one of our success stories. We make these posters. We put them up all over the office. We have them framed and in our lobby of our main health department. They're also located in the workplaces of where all the people on the QI team came from so that they can brag about what they did and show people the process, talk about that. We print this up in our newsletter, we put it on our website, we share it with CalPIM, which is a California website that talks about health improvement. So that other people can borrow it. And if anybody wants it, just let me know and I'll give it to you. It's just a Word document. It's nothing fancy. This is my homage to Houston. Thank you very much, Lola and Robert. They were having a whole lot of fun with accreditation, and I thought, well, I can have fun. So we give people plaques, we give them certificates. I think the most important thing is I write a memo to the supervisor of the person who was on the QI team. I copy their boss as well and the bureau director, and I say what this person's contribution was to the QI project, and I suggest that they put the memo into the person's personnel file so that it is considered at the time of their annual review. Summarizing, we have success stories, we have the template that we use, we broadly broadcast our successes in a number of different ways. This page shows to you the encyclopedia that all of our QI folks have on their desk. And if there's more information you'd like, that's where you can find me, and I hope it's all right. That's Public Health Foundation's email address too. Thank you.